Good morning. That was awesome. I relate to that all too well. My name is Terry Rapley, and I want to say happy Mother's Day. I wanted to spend a little time this morning talking about something that's so near and dear to mothers, and that is rest. But I wanted to start, I was kind of curious, what is it that mothers actually want for Mother's Day? I looked up the survey from USA Today and the top five things that mothers want for Mother's Day. Number one, a good night's sleep. Number two, no demands. In parentheses, you're going to see what I actually want on Mother's Day, and that is to not make any decisions. I just don't want to decide. I don't want to decide what's for dinner. No decisions. Number three, homemade gifts. Number four, more pictures. We got you guys covered in the back with a picture booth. Number five, kids that are good people. Now, for me, my Mother's Day gift was always no fighting from the kids, either with each other or with me. Irma Bombeck has this saying, and what she says is, when the kids get wild and unruly, I find this nice big playpen, and when they're finished, I come out. And that just puts it so well. My kids, and I'm going to embarrass them right now, all three of them are here, and I love them. And go ahead and stand up. Stand up, my girls. Sorry. You can sit down now. Before I go into telling you some childhood stories about their fighting, they're beautiful, amazing women, and I actually adore them. So for you moms that have little kids, know that you will get to have that later, and you will love it and cherish it, but when they're little. So my kids were fighters. Tatum, my oldest one, literally in the delivery room, they brought her to me and they said, this one has a temper. And she does. And I always kind of had a joke about her and I that I would consider it a success if her and I made it to her 18th birthday without one of us being incarcerated. However, we made it. We did good. Neither one of us got jailed and she turned to 18. Tiffany and Taylor, oh, these girls would fight. I can remember one day we came home from dinner, and these two are rolling around, tearing each other up. It was such a shocking scene at that moment. I like, are they faking it? Are they just playing? No, they're beating the tar out of each other. Once we finally got them separated and tried to find out, hey, what was that? Here was why they were fighting. We just need to fight sometimes, Mom. That is it. Now, to share with you guys, I am not exaggerating. Tatum owns a kickboxing gym called Fight Forward. Tiffany and Taylor, they both joined the military, and those two will still throw down as adults and wrestle in the living room. I saw it last year, so I'm not even making that up. They fight. Now, what's funny about this list to me is how many of these things involve some sort of rest from the demands of life. A good night's sleep, no decisions, no demands, rest from fighting. We need peace. Not too long ago, I talked to a lot of people, and not too long ago, I was taken back because I had spoken to so many people, and the two common things that I was hearing was, I'm tired, and I have a ton of anxiety. I had heard it so much from so many diverse groups of people. I kind of got taken back by a moment. And I said to Jesus, this has to make you sad, Jesus. So many of your children are tired and they have a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of demands going on at life. And I knew in that moment that he was sad. And I thought about that, and I think one of the reasons he said is that That's not the way he designed things to be. When God created us, he didn't design us to be sad. He did not design us to be tired and full of stress and anxiety. That wasn't the picture that he had for us. From the very, very beginning, you see in Genesis where it says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. From the very beginning, God knew the importance of rest. Now, it'd be easy to look at this and say, well, this is rest after a job well done. He sat back and he looked at this body of work that he had done. And that's true. However, do you know that God also designed us that, you know, the brain is the organ in our body that takes the most amount of energy? So even if it isn't physical work that you need to rest from, there's mental work, because thinking and stress and anxiety take so much energy. That's why you can be tired if you're fighting. You can be tired in stressful situations. You can be really physically tired if you have a desk job and it's not physical work. So I believe that he knew rest. He intended rest for this, and he modeled it for us. He also says in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So God did it, and God commands us to do it. Why do we not prioritize our rest more? Now, I ask that question, and I don't ask it from any point of judgment. I have only recently got to this place where I'm trying to manage my life in a way that dedicates some time to rest. A Sabbath day, I'm trying really hard. I'm practicing with it. So I'm only just now getting there. But I do think it's important. God did model it. God did command it. I do think we're hardwired and designed for rest. Now, you might want to say to me, Terry, that is impossible. You do not see my life at home. I can't. I cannot rest. The kids are still going to fight. Dinner still has to be cooked. I have chores to do. I have to work. This is impossible. My response to that is, I understand, but Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So we've got us, no, it's impossible, or we have Jesus who says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Which is it? Which one do we want to go with? I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little bit more comfortable fleshing out what Jesus says. It's like, let's go with that and let's look at it. So I want to pick that apart a little bit, and we're going to pick this apart in reverse. It wasn't too long ago, I had a little moment with this verse. This is one of those verses that you see in picture frames. And if you grew up going to church, you memorized this verse. You just knew it as a kid. For me, the version was, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So you know how you'll have those situations in your world, and you get whipped up in this little frenzy, and you start really thinking about something, and you get really stressed out. Well, I'd had one of those not too long ago. And in those situations, what I try to do is I call on the Word of God. Of course, you have to read it a lot to be able to call on it, but I'll call on it. So it's like, okay, what do you got for this moment? What's your word say? What are your promises? I'm looking for a way out of this frenzy that I've whipped myself into. Well, this verse had come to my mind. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, the Holy Spirit kind of took me aside on this one. And the question became to me is, so, what do you think Jesus' rest is? What do you expect that Jesus' rest is? My first response to that was, quite honestly, sleep. I think your rest means your sleep. It's like, I don't know. You're going to let me take a nap. You're going to let me have a good night's sleep. Now, that's completely unrealistic for me to think that God is going to let me sleep through all my problems. However, if it is his will that's what I do, I'm in. I will do it. I'm happy about that. But I don't think that's very realistic at all. So I got to thinking, what do I think Jesus' rest is? And I thought, well, I think when I bring my problems to you and you give me rest, I think what that means to me is that you're going to solve them. You're going to take them away or you're going to solve them. That's why I'm bringing you my problems, so you can fix them, so you can solve them. I can't solve them. That's what I'm doing. I realized in that moment, I had put Jesus' power in this teeny little box with three options when I'm bringing him my trouble. His choices were, you can let me go to sleep, you can fix my problems, or you can take my problems away. I limited Jesus in that moment for what he can do and what his rest looked like. And I knew it in a moment. It's like, okay, well then what is it? And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, what if Jesus' rest looks something like coming alongside you, and it's courage to get through the moment that you're afraid to go through? What if it's a little shot of persistence so that you can just keep going even though everything is telling you that you can't do it? What if his rest means he's going to give you rest from your bad attitude that's creating problems around other people? What if his rest looks like just sitting in his presence while you go through something in his beautiful love? What if his rest is that? It opened up a huge world of what his rest could look like. And the great thing about that is that it's going to be very individual to each of us. What's rest to me might be different for you. And this is a beautiful thing. So I opened up the box. Jesus can now have rest mean more than just those three little things that I had done. It's huge. It's open. His rest could be a ton of things. And then I got to looking at what are the types of things that we can bring Jesus. So I thought about that, and I thought, you know, typically what I bring Jesus are the big things. Or I usually bring things to Jesus that I can't fix on my own. What's interesting about that's super contrary to a verse in Proverbs 3:6 that says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. It doesn't read in categories A through G, bring those to me, anything but those, and I'll make your paths straight. It doesn't say that. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will make your paths straight. So that kind of can apply to what we can bring before Jesus, right? It doesn't say, all you who are weary and burdened, accept burdens A through G. Come to me and I will give you rest. It doesn't say that. It says, all you who are weary and burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. That is big. Now, a lot of us, we could have the argument that we'll only bring the big things because we don't want to, I don't know, bother God with the little things. I don't know what's up with that. But there's this story in 2 Kings chapter 6. You guys are going to get the Terry version of it. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah the prophet, he lives with these guys. These guys are referred to as sons of the prophets. So he lives with these guys, and these sons of the prophets come to him, and they say, Elijah, our house is too small for all of us. Can we go to the Jordan River, and can we cut down some trees and bring them back so that we can make a bigger home? And Elijah's, sure, go do that. So they go on the way. One of the sons of the prophets asks Elijah, hey, would you mind going with us? Elijah, sure, I'll go. So they go to the river. They're cutting down their trees. And one of the guys cries out. Well, what had happened is the tool that he was using, the iron axe head had fallen in the river. Now, the significance of it mentioning that it was iron is at that time, most of the tools were made of bronze. So the fact that it was iron indicated that it was higher in value. So what had happened is he cried, this iron, this valuable, expensive axe head had fallen in the river. Elijah had walked out and he's like, hey, or had walked by. He's like, hey, what's wrong? And the guy cries out, oh my gosh, I lost this expensive axe head and I borrowed this axe from a friend. So not only was it expensive, he also had borrowed it. Now, Elijah takes a stick, he throws it on the water, the axe head floats to the top. The guy bends down and gets the axe head. The beauty of that verse is that if you care, God cares. You care, God cares. He loves you. He adores you. He wants you to bring every single solitary thing to him. I could tell you guys this is true. Two things. One, I want to tell you, if you get stressed out by chores, Holy Spirit, Jesus is the best chore partner in the world. You can bring it to him. Sometimes I will just get in these positions where I don't want to clean the house. I'm sorry. I want to sit on the couch and watch mindless TV all day long. That's really all I want to do. I know I'm going to be mad at myself later if that's what I do, but that's all I want to do. And what I've learned to do is I've learned to ask Jesus to help me out on that one. Hey, can you help me? I need to take care of business and I just don't want to. And you know what? I don't know what happens. I don't even know how he does it. I'll be able to get through chores. Not too long ago, I have a wood stove. As an adult, I do not have a lot of experience with wood stoves. So I had asked everyone, hey, how much wood do I need to get? And everyone said, oh, get a cord of wood. And I was like, oh, okay. So I order a cord of wood. I call up, I order it. The guy's like, where do you want me to put it? I'm like, oh, just put it in my driveway, in my carport. And he's like, are you sure? That should have been assigned to me right there. And he said, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I could park on the street. He goes, well, I bring it, and he gives me all these measurements for this trailer that he brings the wood in, which meant nothing to me. I was like, okay, I don't know. I don't know what measurements mean. I'm not very good at that kind of thing. I came home for lunch. For the record, a cord of wood's a lot of wood. And I did not know this. I got home from work after that, and I was overwhelmed. I had no clue how I was going to get it out of my driveway. I figure I'd be parking on the street for months. So I sat down. It was so daunting and it was so impossible to me. There's no way. I'm not going to get it done. I just sat there and then I started praying about it. It's like, I need help. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Well, I said that prayer. I got up. I got the wheelbarrow, go out there, and I did it. 3.5 hours. It took me 3.5 hours to actually do it. That's not my point. My point is that I did it. I have no idea how. I don't even know. I'd go out there. My prayers started being, hey, one wheelbarrow at a time. At the end of it, it was like one piece of wood at a time. I can't tell you guys how many times things have happened in my life after taking these menial wood stacking things to Jesus. And I'll come back and I'll go, dang, Holy Spirit, I don't know how you pulled that off. I don't even know how you got that done, but thank you for helping me. Because that's what his rest does. That is what he wants for you, his children. We are not hardwired to be so weighed down and weary and so much anxiety. No, he did not do it. That's not what it's about for him. Can you imagine if you see all your children or all your loved ones, and they're weary and they're burdened by all this stress and anxiety, and you can do something about it, and they don't even come to you? That's going to break your heart. If my girls, all three of them, were going through that and they didn't even ask me, and there was something that was holding them back from asking me for help, and I found out, I would be sad. Jesus is saddened by this when we can't bring everything and anything to him. All of it. Every single thing. He wants every bit of us. Now, I believe that this verse, "Come to me, all ye who are weary with heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This is a call. He is calling us to come to him. That's the one thing he cannot do. Or it's not that he can't do it, it's that he doesn't do it. He won't do it for you. He's not going to force you to come to him. He's calling you to, he wants you to, but he is not going to force it. And he wants you to come to him. Bring it. The mere fact that something makes you weary, something causes you a little bit of anxiety, overwhelm, that's your trigger right there. Oop, I got to go run into Jesus. And again, I think I've said this before, don't walk, run. Sprint as fast as you possibly can. Lay that at Jesus' feet because he loves you. He wants it. He's got it. Chances are he'll do better with the problem than you will anyway. And he wants to take that from you because he loves you that much. He's telling you, my children, I'll give you rest. I love you. I adore you. If everyone would please stand with me for a moment. I know with no question in my mind that he has children out there right now that have things that they have not laid at his feet. There's something that maybe you think it's not that important. You might think it's trivial. Maybe you don't want to bother Jesus with it. No. Nope. I'm telling you right here and now, that is a big fat lie. Jesus wants it all. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you are weary and you are heavy burdened with something, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I'm just asking you to trust in Jesus. Trust in him and just lay it at his feet. Come to him with this. It could be a bad attitude. It could be, there is a myriad of things that bog us down. They could be big. They could be small. I literally prayed that I would come up with a good outfit that would make me comfortable this morning. We can laugh at that, but Jesus cares. He cares about every single solitary. That's the relationship that he's looking for. And let me tell you, that's a beautiful thing. That's standing in the presence of a Savior that loves you. That's a depth of his love. But we just put it in a little box and only the big things. No. So, if you got that going on, and I know there are people here that do. The reason that I know that is it's just been so heavy on my heart lately. You just can feel it. You could feel it in our quietness earlier with responses to, look, we're quiet, we're tired. That's okay. That's okay. We're going to be, and chances are we're going to continue to be. The thing is, we just bring it to Jesus. Like, hey, can you walk alongside me with this? So, if you would please come forward, everyone that falls in that position. And what I'm going to do, what you're doing, you're just laying it at his feet. We're going to pray. Now, if you're not comfortable coming up, that's no problem, because I still know that you're out there. I know that there are things that you need to lay down and just bring to his feet. We're going to pray over you, and we're just going to just release it in that moment.